I'm Dave Wallner from Reaching Out Ministries. I'm putting the trumpet to my mouth, calling for the soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
Good morning. How are you? I've never been better. That's what the Lord says. He says he's changing me from glory to glory and to his own image. I'm better than I was yesterday. I'll be better than I am today, tomorrow. And that's the Lord. So that's what I answer when people say, how are you? I'm not being a smart aleck. I'm just saying what the Lord says. I want to start off this morning. I didn't know how to do this, honestly. And this is very, very emotional for me. And it's starting already. So I'm going to try and blubber my way through this. I want to read Psalm 77, part of Psalm 77. And then I want to tell you why I'm reading Psalm 77. If you have it in front of you today, please turn there. We're reading Psalm 77. It says, I cried to the Lord with my voice, to God with my voice. Now remember, this is a song, so that's why it reads like that. This is Israel's songbook. He gave ear to me, and the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in a night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained in my spirit and was overwhelmed. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance in my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. Now, these three verses are the ones I want to concentrate on. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in his anger shut up his tender mercies? And I said, this is my anguish. But I will remember in the years of my right hand of the Most High. Now he's going back and drawing, he's in anguish. So he's going back and drawing on times past when God helped him. And he has to draw on those times so that he can get through this terrible time that he was in. Now we were sitting in our living room at Rosedale Colony. This was not even an hour after my brother had passed away. We had just gotten the phone call. And we were all sitting there. Uncle Paulo was there. Uncle Paulo is the ultimate, very committed to the Hutterian faith and very diligent in it. And he was a bit intimidating for me. But we didn't know. We were all sitting there looking at each other, grief-stricken, obviously. We had just lost. And my dad made no secret that this was his favorite son. And we were okay with that. But he was gone. And I felt we should do something. Read a scripture. Holy Spirit said, read a scripture. Okay, I'm good with that. I had my Bible there. I grabbed my Bible, and I said, what do you read? And he said, Psalm 77. I was not familiar with Psalm 77. My go-to songs were Psalm 150, 145 to 150, Psalm 100, Psalm 5, those are the psalms that I use in my ministry to my wife and I have led worship for over 40 years. And these were the go-to psalms that I went to. I didn't know anything about Psalm 77, so I was a little surprised. And then I read this, and it fit. Verse 7 is exactly what we prayed minutes before we got the phone call. We were laying in bed. It was late at night. We were laying in bed, and we had been praying for my family ever since we got married. Every morning, Wanda got up way earlier than she needed to get up just to, so that we could be in prayer together before I went to work. And I was saying, God, when you're going to do something, do something. And it's okay to pray like that, because he wants to remind us of his covenant with us. And when we remind God of his covenant with us, it's his way of drawing us into what he wants to do. I didn't know it back then, but I know it now. So God was already drawing us. God, has his mercy ceased? Does he have no mercy for these Hutterite people? That's where my heart was. We prayed for our family. Something drastic had happened to me. I didn't find it there. I found it in Thompson. Jesus. Now this was sort of in the middle of the story here, but that's how I chose to start this. Now, the story begins on August the 5th, 1977. That was before you were born. And we were at our Bible camp, 54 miles south of Thompson, a camp literally hacked out of the bush. That's where we met to have a good time in the Lord. Some of you have been there. And Brother Reverend Hawks, a Bible teacher from Central Pentecostal Bible School from Saskatoon, was our speaker. And he spoke on Ezekiel 47. I didn't see this until this morning, if you can believe it. God is still showing me stuff. I'm slow, okay? And I saw this morning, and I want to, hopefully I'll remember to come back to this, but I don't want to get tripped up with this here. But he spoke on Ezekiel 47, where the river comes out of the throne of God, and it goes out and flows and literally covers the country. Do you get the picture? Something started up at that camp that God used and is now literally flooding the country. That's what God spoke to me about this morning. He didn't show me that then. It would have killed me. But step by step, he's taking me through this. So the message was given. We had a bench over here for anybody that wanted to come and get saved should go kneel at the bench. Then we had a line over here for anybody that wanted a closer walk with the Lord or healing or whatever could line up here. So I went up here. I had been saved for 3.5 years. And I had my time of prayer. People prayed with me and with others. Wanda was over here. She's playing the organ. We had an organ there. And I looked up and she's trying to get my attention. And she pointed. And my brother, I'm sorry. My brother John had come up. I didn't ask him to come. He came up and knelt, gave his heart to God. Very dramatic. Now, back the story up a bit. A few months earlier, April, he was 17 when he left. So he was working at Winnipeg Beach as a landscaper. And one night we got a phone call. It was my brother. He said, would it be okay if I came up and stayed at your house next month? And because I want to look for a job in Thompson. We said, sure, absolutely. 2 days later, phone rings again. Now he's weeping. He said, okay, if I come tomorrow, absolutely, come on up. So he came, said, God is arranging this thing. I see that now. I didn't see it then. God is arranging this thing. So he gets saved that night. We went over for coffee at the lodge. It was just down the road, a few miles down the road. The evangelist was there with us, and John came, and he testified. He felt different. He had, you know how it is, he had the glory. The light was now on the inside. As humans, we put the light on the outside, but it's now on the inside, and he's shining with the glory of God. There was no mistake about it. So we said goodbye. He went to work. He had to work the next morning. We went back to the camp. We had to leave for vacation the next morning. At 5 o'clock in the morning, I heard somebody talking down the hall. We were in a dorm. We had dorm rooms there, 13 rooms per dorm. We were halfway down. And I heard somebody say, can you tell me what room the Waldners are in? And they gave us our room number. Here comes the footsteps outside, knock on the door. I said, yes, who is it? Said, RCMP. And Wanda sat up in bed. She said, looked at me. She said, John, we knew something terrible had happened. And fear, you know, that fear is not of God. The fear gripped us. We knew there was an enemy. When God works, the enemy works too. We know that. That's not a secret that I'm divulging this morning. But fear gripped our heart. But at the same time, there was assurance, trust me, trust me, trust me. And I can't explain that properly, but that's how I felt. So they told John I'd been in a horrible accident. And what had happened is, I'll just tell you briefly what happened, is there was a drunk driver that drove out of Thompson south on the highway, rolled his car, totaled the car, and walked away from that accident. Figured that one out. The RCMP were called, and the guy, the RCMP that hit my brother with his car, was not called to the scene. He heard the chatter on the radio, so he thought he'd go out and have a look. And he had his lights on and everything right at the intersection. The hospital is right there. John lives right over here. And this happened right at the intersection. Some of you know where that is. And he had the green light, so he turned on to go to his house. The RCMP came over the hill. He didn't see the intersection, so he was flying over the hill, and he broadsided my brother's car. It was actually Wanda's car, which he had loaned for the week. And had he been wearing a seatbelt, he'd be sitting here today, probably. But he had no seatbelt. It wasn't required then. He hit his head on the passenger door, had a massive skull fracture. He was all swollen. We knew it was hopeless. So we went to see him the next morning. They gave us sort of a be ready. We weren't ready. He looked really bad. We knew it was hopeless, but I don't know. Anyway, Dad and Mom came up. They got there that evening. Now, what had happened is that they found John's ID in his wallet, and it was John Waldner. So they got to the phone book and looked. John Waldner, the only John Waldner in Thompson at that time, was my uncle Billy Joe. So they called him up. He's the first guy to hear about the whole thing. Billy Joe said, you better hurry, because they're out at the camp. Moses, his brother, is out at the camp, and they're leaving the next morning. So the Thompson detachment got a hold of the Woboden detachment, and that's RCMP that showed up at our door. So Mom and Dad got there. As soon as Mom got there, I just felt the Holy Spirit said, take her aside and tell her what happened to John. Now, I don't know if she fully understood, but she seemed to. She was very tender. My mom's very tender to the things of God, to the things of the Holy Spirit. She's always been. Now, she's been educated the same way many of us had. I'm talking about the Hutterite doctrine. And she was, but she had a tenderness for God, a tenderness for the Holy Spirit, a tenderness for the things of God. She heard God speaking. She still does today more than ever. So she seemed to understand and was very comforted by it. So they flew John down to Health Sciences that night, and we drove there the next day. Uncle Paul and Dad stayed back in Thompson, and they took the airplane home the next day. It was quite a novelty for them, first time on the plane. So we all met at Health Sciences, and then three at a time, the family went in to say goodbye, I guess. So I was the last to see him alive. I talked to him. I forget what I said. Did they say that sometimes the people in a coma can hear you? I don't know if he could or not. But there he was. So we basically went home. We went to bed. And that's when I prayed this prayer that I just read from Psalm 77, verses 7 to 9. And just as I finished praying the prayer, the phone rang. Now, back then, the Hutterite phone was at, there was only one, which was at the boss's house. But we had our window open. It was August, hot night, so I could hear the phone. We were actually waiting for it. The phone came, Dad went over, came back, he's dead. Poor Dad. he just lost it. He was... I'm sorry. He's just grabbing a hold of the wall, trying to steady himself. And we went over and we just put our arms around him and talked to him. And we prayed with him. And he calmed down right away. And God showed me something. People came the next day. And then we went in the living room. We sat down. That's when I read this scripture. But the next day, people were coming. I believe John had a girlfriend named Marie, is that right? From Bornholm, was it? Bornholm Colony. She came. She was a mess. Whoa. Worse than I am this morning. And they brought her in. There was a couple of people almost carrying her back into the back bedroom. She didn't go in where John was. She went back in the back bedroom. And the Lord said, take your wife and go and pray with her. So I did. There's one thing I learned. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, better go right now. And so I did. I said, where is she? She's over there. So we went over there, stood behind her, and I said, Mariki, I think was her nickname. I'm Moses, and this is my wife, Wanda. Is it okay if we pray with you? She nodded. And as soon as we touched her, prayed for the peace of God, instantly, just like that, she came out of her despair. She came out of whatever I'm doing this morning. And God just healed her and it just woke her up, just brought her back, just instantaneously. I almost looked at my hands. What happened here? My Aunt Emma came in, basically the same way, a mess. Is she here today? She'll be okay with this. Huh? Emma. She'd be okay with this if I... But she came in. They were all devastated. Same thing. We went over. We prayed with her. And God touched her. She's a Christian today, by the way. These people are Christians today. Now, Marie has passed away. But these people that I'm going to mention are Christians today. God touched them, everyone. And that was that trickle, the river of God flowing that went out. So this happened to quite a number of people. The funeral came. We went to the funeral. We went to the graveyard, did our deal there. On the way back from the graveyard, now I had been a tower. I'm a mess this morning, but I was strong. I wasn't blubbering like this. I was strong. I was a man of God, full of faith and power. Where's the next person I can lay my hands on? And that's how I felt. God had just taken over. And we came to the middle of the colony. There was a telephone pole there. And right on the middle of the colony, there were hundreds of people around. It was a big funeral. And we were, well, my dad was on one side, Wanda was on the other side. And all of a sudden, all the strength I had was gone. Bang, gone. I was down on my hands and knees, blubbering like I am now. I lost it. Don't know why. And I know today that God said, okay, Mr. Big Shot, I'm going to take over now. Now watch this. God said, I'm going to take this thing over now. We went, and they carried me into the back bedroom like these other girls, and we all sat down. There's a bunch of us these bedrooms are quite large. So there's a bunch of us in there, Christians and non-Christians. Our pastor had come with his wife from Thompson. Our intern pastor was there, so there was a number of Christians there. And I was done. I mean, what? I can't do anything anymore. Suddenly, my mom jumps up, and she's pointing. Now, this is very unlike my mom. Those of you who know her say, know her. And said, she jumps up and she has her finger going. She says, this had to happen for a reason, she said, at all of us. This happened just like a prophet. She said, there is a reason. There's going to be a miracle. And God saved her right on the spot, right there. Because she didn't know how to articulate it, how to explain what happened. But she knew something had happened to her. And she wanted the others to be like she was. So she went around, and the only way she could describe what she meant is she pointed at the Christians. I want you to be like him and like her. She's pointing at our pastor, at his wife, at the intern pastor, at me, at my wife. And she pointed at all the Christians and left the non-Christians out. Skipped over them. She came, my cousin, I'm not going to mention her name. I don't want to embarrass her. She's a secret agent Christian in one of the colonies out west. She was standing in the closet, hanging on for dear life, scared to death of what was going on. We didn't know what was going on. She's standing there, and as Mom came around pointing at all the Christians, she stopped like this. They made eye contact, and she couldn't point at her. My cousin went down like an accordion on the floor, under the power of God, convicted. Bam! Then my mom went around and pointed at all the non-Christians. You got to become like, she didn't say like us, but you have to get saved. She came around to my cousin who was still on the floor. She reached down, picked her up, and she stood up tall. She was a tall lady. She stood up tall, her face glowing. She had got saved on the floor. She took that message back to where she lived, and we heard almost every month somebody knew got saved, somebody knew heard the God. It was her witness that she took back. That's how God works. So she, that particular place was under an ultimatum. I don't know if you've been under an ultimatum. If you're a Christian here, stand up. You got a week to move out. Some people have gone through that. She was part of that deal. She didn't get up. She sat. But she's a believer today. Many of them stood up and didn't sit down. They're serving the Lord today. Many, many, many people serving the Lord today. Now, our pastor, I'm leaning very heavily on an article that I have here that our pastor encouraged me to write. Now, Pastor Shelby, our pastor from Thompson, he's a very conservative guy. He's not into any of the emotional stuff that a lot of Pentecostals are accused of being into. But he had it together. He spoke in tongues. He prayed in tongues. He sang in the Spirit, in church, out loud. But he wasn't off the handle. He had it together. His wife, on the other hand, she was the fireball evangelist. He was the teacher. He said to me, when my mom did this, he said to me, that is the most incredible thing I have ever seen. Coming from him, it opened my eyes. A few years ago, about 5 years ago, I was just gone to bed. It was about midnight, I guess. This has to do with my mom. She's still alive, still serving God. But watch this. She wanted to go home about 5 years ago. She was done with this place. Nobody was left. She's the youngest in her family. All her family was gone. So she wanted God to take her home. She told us this out loud. When we used to visit once a month, and I said, Mom, I'll see you next month. If I'm still here, I said, you'll be here, Mom, and I'll see you next month. Okay. Next month, same thing. So I get this phone call. I forget what day it was. It doesn't matter. But it was, and I remember the time. It was midnight. It was bitterly cold January. I'd gone to bed. I was just about to fall asleep. I fall asleep very quickly. You have about 2 minutes, and then I'm no longer in the conversation. But I had just fallen asleep. The phone rang. I turned. I was awake now, and I looked at the clock. It was 12:01 in the morning. Wanda will get that. Wanda is wide awake at 12:01. She sits at the, she's a school teacher. I've seen her up at 2 a.m. marking tests at the kitchen table. Goodness, how do you do that? Anyway, she'll get the phone. It was my brother. He said, come right now to the Grace Hospital because your mom's not going to be alive by morning. Okay. I remember two things. I remember I was mad. I was furious for two reasons. The devil is messing with my mom. That was my main concern. My other concern was I have to get out of bed and on this bitterly cold night drive to Grace Hospital to do whatever. So I was mad. I walked into the hospital mad. I dealt with the nurse while I was mad. They told me she's down there. I said, where is she? Down in room 207 or whatever. So I stomped on down there. I was speaking in tongues the whole time I was walking. I wanted God to be in on this or making sure. And I was Hutterites sitting around. And I walked in there. I was praying in the Holy Ghost. I didn't care. I sat down and I said, what is going on? Oh, she's like this. And it looked like she was taking her last breath. So I sat down, I took her hand, and I just, for an hour and a half, just said, in Jesus' name, that's all I said, just for an hour and a half. They took her home the next day. She got better. A week later or so, I forget, she was back again. I said, Mom, what is going on? I want to go home. I said, listen, Mom, death is an appointment. It's appointed for man wants to die. You don't decide when you die. That's against the law. You shoot yourself. That's not legal. You wait until God has a purpose for you still. Look at your life. Look at what he's done. Since that time, there's been three deaths at our colony. Uncle Paul, Levi, and Willie. Three deaths. She was instrumental in dealing with the widows because she was a widow by now herself. Dad passed in 2000 in a tractor accident. So God was preparing for, she was instrumental now in sharing with these people. And the word got out. Ann came over and, Elizabeth, how do you do it? How do you do it? So how do you do it? You trust the Lord. That's how you do it. That's how we all do it. We trust the Lord, one step at a time. I haven't shared this since 1981 at a full gospel businessmen's meeting in Flin Flon. But I will share it every time that I'm invited to do so because it is the power of God. It is the power of God that brings us onto salvation. And many... I've encouraged many people, I believe. The Lord has encouraged many people to keep praying. If you have a loved one that doesn't know God, I have a sister who doesn't serve God that I can see. Keep praying. Keep trusting God. Some people do it on their deathbed. But God is working. God is working. Ezekiel 47, the river of God flows out from under the throne of God, comes as a trickle. And then it spreads. If we do our part, if we trust, we pray, and we obey, watch God working, because he is faithful. We're not, but he is. Thank you very much.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. You can also reach us online at reachingoutministries.com. That's reachingoutministries.com.